He said, we've got to take away these divisions, because who is Paul and who is Apollos? But we're simply servants or ministers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he comes down to verse 9 and verse 10, and he talks about that God made him the wise master builder. He was really, God gave to him the direction for the church, and I believe that's what it's talking about here. He said, it was given by the grace of God, it was given to me by a wise master, as a wise master builder, and I have laid the foundation, yet another buildeth thereupon. Take heed how you build. Paul had the direction for the local church. God had given that to him through the Holy Spirit. And he was the wise master builder of how, and that's why we have the writings, so many writings of Paul in the New Testament, and we formulate the church today after the writings of Paul. He told us what baptism was. He told us what the Lord's Supper was and the different functions of the church and how it's supposed to operate and how it's supposed to work. He was the wise master builder, and he laid the foundation for the church. But he said, another buildeth thereupon. And I think it's in reference that other pastors were going to come in and build the local church. But you are the church. The Holy Spirit lives within you. These walls is not Faith Baptist Church. You are Faith Baptist Church because the Spirit of God dwells in you. And he said, you're building the local church. You're building upon the foundation of the local church. You're building upon the foundation in your lives of how you live. And so Paul said, you are building. And in your life, you're building. And he gave us the things you need. And he, because of the carnality, he wanted to get right down to earth and say, you're building. You're building upon this foundation, the church. Jesus Christ is the foundation. And then he said in verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay. So you see, we've got to have the right foundation. It's got to be Jesus Christ. You cannot build, you can attend church, but you can't build this church. You can't build upon the foundation that Paul laid unless you're born again and saved. Because other foundation can no man lay than that which is Jesus Christ. You must be born again. You must know your sins are forgiven and you're on your way to heaven. So Paul said, in order to be the builder you need to be and to build upon the church and build upon this foundation, you have to be saved. You have to lay the foundation which is Jesus Christ. The church has to be based upon Jesus Christ and the Word of God. But your lives had to be based, because you can't build unless you're saved and born again. So he said, you got to have the right foundation. But then we looked at, you've got to have the right building material. He said, that's the gold, silver, precious stone, hay, wood, and stubble. Those are all building materials. They're not some of the gold, silver, and precious stone don't represent good works, and the hay, wood, and stubble represent bad works. They're all good works. He said, you need to work. You need to have good works. You need to work toward Christ. You need to work in your life for him. You need to live for him. And you need to build thereupon. And it's gold, silver, and precious stone, and hay, wood, and stubble are the works that we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Each one of you have responsibility to build upon that foundation. You need some works, some things you do for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he said, you have to have the right foundation, you have to have the right building materials, but number three, you have to have the right plan. This is where it gets a little sticky. You've got to have the right plan. When you build, you've got to have the right motives, he said. Why you do what you do, why you're here today, why you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're only here because you have to be here, because, well, I'm going to lose God's blessing, that's a wonderful, I'm glad you're here. But you're here for the wrong, with the wrong motive in mind. You've got to have the right motive. Why we do what we do. Why we read our Bible. Why we pray. Now I told you last week or a couple weeks ago that there's some things you do in this life that are commanded from Scripture. And I think when God commands something from Scripture, those aren't the rewards we get in heaven at the judgment seat of Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. But there's things beyond what is commanded in Scripture definitely that we can do. I think we need to be faithful in church because that's a command of God. Forsake not the assembling together. I think you need to read your Bible. But how much? And how much time do you spend in God's Word? That's where the good works come. That's where the gold, silver, precious stone, hay, wood, and stubble come. And if I pray, I pray for one another, but I take time to really pray for God. But I do it with the right motive. I do it not because of God's going to bless me for it or because what I get out of it. I pray because it's just simply what God has asked me to do, and I want to be faithful to Him. And so we need to pray and do these things and do these works, but your motives make a difference. You know, when these kids, I don't know, that's the beauty about it. I don't have to, I can't judge their hearts. I don't know why the kids were up here. I'm thrilled they're using some abilities that God has given them for the Lord Jesus Christ and played a godly song, Joy to the World, and whatever else they played. I can't even remember what they played. First Noel. But I don't know their motives. If they are up here to impress you, well, I'm glad they were up here. And I'm glad they used their abilities for the glory of God. But I don't, thank God, I don't have to judge their motives, but God does. God knows why they were up here. God knows why people sing in the choir. God knows why people do the things they do around Faith Baptist Church. And again, that's the beauty of it. God knows your motive. But it will play out, and we'll see that in just a second. But not only do we need the right motive, we need the right conduct. I think this is crucial. I think this is crucial. We need the right conduct. Because we base our conduct based upon the world, and we say, the world's here, and all I do is got to be a little bit above the world. Or I work with a Christian, there's another Christian I know, and he's here. All I do is got to be above him. But that doesn't get you gold, silver, precious stone. That may get you some hay, wood, and stubble. Because God has set a standard for the Christian. He wants you to be here. He wants you to be righteous. He said, be ye holy because I am holy. So we set the standard based upon somebody else, and all we do is want to live above them. Well, that's good. I'm glad you want to be above them. I'm glad you want to be a testimony to them, but don't set your standard based upon man or other people around you. Because that, honestly, it's a good work, but it's going to be hay, wood, and stubble. But God has set a standard for you. Go above that standard. Reach that standard. Reach out to what God wants you to be. That's where the gold, silver, precious stone comes. So we need the right conduct. I told you this a couple weeks ago. I think people, when they get to the judgment seat of Christ, are going to be amazed at what, not what they get, but you know what they're going to be amazed at? What they don't get. Well, I'm a great testimony at work. I mean, I don't cuss and swear, and I don't do all these things. Well, okay, but that's living above man's standard conduct. But God says the gold, silver, and precious stone is when you live by my conduct. You live according to my word and my expectations for the Christian life. So we need to have the right conduct, but also we need to have the right service. And I think one thing we're going to be judged, and we don't talk about that in our pulpits very much. And I tried to do this, but the gifts that God's given to you, not the talents, not the abilities you have, those are works that you have, and those are good works that you can do when you come up here and use your ability or talent that you have. But God has given each one of you as a born-again believer a gift. Everybody has at least one gift, and some of you have more than one gift. I think you're going to directly stand before Jesus Christ and how you applied that gift. You say, well, Pastor, I don't even know what my gift is. Well, you need to learn it. You need to learn what your gift is, because I think you're going to stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, and he's going to judge you directly on how you applied the gift that God has given to you. That's why Paul had the gift of, I think, the gift of teaching. But he said, I've got to teach. I've got to do that. I've got to teach. And throughout, God gave him some gifts. And he had to complete those gifts because Paul knew that one day he would stand for the judgment seat of Christ, and he's going to be judged based upon the service or the way you applied the gifts. And so you need the right foundation, which is Jesus Christ. Then you need the right building materials. Those are works. That becomes gold, silver, precious stone, hay, wood, and stubble. And then you need the right motives, the right conduct, and the right service. Now, there's other things we could put in there, but then it brings me to the point four, and here's where I want to pick up today with us. Because the fourth point is, why do you need the right foundation, the right building material, and the right plan? Because, number four, our building will be tested. Our building's going to be tested. What you've built for Jesus Christ will be tested. When Christ returns, every believer's work will be tested as the quality by which he built. That's why in verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, he said. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire will try every man's work of what sort it is. It's the fire that tries every man's work, whether it be good. And when we say the word bad in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, whether it be good or bad, it's either good or worthless. It's not bad. These aren't bad works. You're not going to be punished at the judgment seat of Christ in any way, shape, or form. But some of the works are going to be tried to see what sort they are, and the fire is going to try, and some are going to be purified and stay, and some are going to be burned up. That's the reality of it. And so God said, Paul says, you've got to have the right foundation. That begins with Christ. Then you've got to have the right building materials. You've got to have the good works. You've got to do something for Christ. Number three, but within it, you got to have the right motives and the right conduct and the right service, because it will be tested, and it will be tested one day at the judgment seat of Christ by fire. Fire is a symbol of testing. Fire sheds light on that which is dark. Fire purifies and reveals the dross which is scraped away and discarded. Fire consumes that which is not durable. Paul tells us that our works will be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work to what sort it is. There's where it goes. Here's what I envision, and I may be wrong in this, and it may be a little bit different than what I'm saying, but at the judgment seat of Christ, individually, not on a big screen, not before everybody, individually, you'll stand before Jesus Christ, and you will place your works, your gold, silver, precious stone, hay, wood, and stubble. All your works that you've done for the Lord Jesus Christ, you will place before Jesus Christ. I believe the gold, silver, precious stone are things done with the right motives, the right conduct, the right service, the right attitude. They're works that you did to glorify your Savior. That's the gold, silver, precious stone. The hay, wood, and stubble are still good works. You'll have something to present to Christ, but that was works that were done with the wrong motive, the wrong conduct, the wrong service. You just did it because you had to. What are other people going to think? And you know the way it goes. And that's the hay, wood, and stubble. But they're still good works, and it's something you have to present to Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ at that point wants to try the works to what sort they are, because remember, we're building ultimately the church. Now, they're your works, but we're building the church that Paul was the wise master builder of. And so these works are building the church. And God doesn't want the hay, wood, and stubble. He wants the gold, silver, precious stone. And if you know anything about heaven, you can understand that, because heaven is not filled with hay, wood, and stubble. It's filled with gold and silver and precious stones that are in heaven. That's the works Christ is looking forward to. Now, I don't think he's going to be disappointed if you have some hay, wood, and stubble there, because at least it's works that you've done for Christ. But they're not works that are going to spend or make it through the test of time. And so he wants to make sure that only the gold, silver, and precious stone will move on. So the Bible says he's going to try every sort it is. Now in Revelation chapter 1, verse 14, we have an interesting description. And it's one of the descriptions that we have of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I tried to picture this. You watch on some of these especially Easter movies and Christmas movies, you see that men portray Christ, and in your mind you say, well, maybe that would look like Christ, maybe that wouldn't look like Christ. You try to begin to picture in your mind, but we have no idea, because what Christ looked like when he walked in his human form, in his fleshly form. But Revelation chapter 1 gives us an insight to what Jesus Christ looks like in heaven, what we will see when we get to heaven one day. And it's an interesting passage, because it says this. This is the description that John gives of Christ. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes are as a flame of fire. And his feet are like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. But the phrase I took out of that was interesting to me is his eyes were as the flame of fire. I think that's the description of Jesus Christ in heaven. And when you look in Jesus Christ one day when we get to heaven, his eyes will be as a flame of fire. But I think that's the idea at the judgment seat of Christ, that you present your works before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, and the eyes, his eyes just looking upon your works, his eyes were as the flame of fire, and that's the fire it's talking about that's going to try every man's work of what sort it is. So picture this, you have your works before Jesus Christ. And his eyes, like the flame of fire, look upon those works, and the gold, silver, and precious stone, the works will done with the right motives, the right conduct, the right service, the right attitude. The works that were done for the glory of Jesus Christ to glorify him are going to be gold, silver, and precious stone. Not only they're not going to be burned up, but they're going to be purified. Any dross or any problems within are going to be taken out, and they're going to become perfected. But the works that were done with the wrong motives, the wrong attitude, the wrong conduct, the wrong service, even though they're still good works, hay, wood, and stubble, they're going to be burned. That's why he says we will try every man's work of what sort it is, gold, silver, precious stone, or hay, wood, and stubble. I do believe that at the judgment seat of Christ, we'll stand before him, and our works will be tried by the fire from his eyes to see whether it be good or worthless. Just as fire purifies metal, so will the fire of Christ's discernment burn up the dross and leave what is pure and available. Paul makes it clear that at this time, there'll be no punishment. There's going to be no punishment. If the good works of hay, wood, and stubble are burned up, it's not punishment. It's simply a lack of reward. So you won't be punished for any works that were done with the right motive or done with the wrong motive, the wrong conduct, the wrong service, the wrong attitude. It's not going to be, you're not going to stand in judgment because all your problems, all your sins were taken care of at the cross of Calvary. And they're all under the blood of Christ. But there will be a loss of reward. And what you'll be left with right there is what you present to Jesus Christ to build the church that he loves so much. That's your opportunity. That's what motivated the Apostle Paul. That's what motivated him so much that when he stood before Jesus Christ, that he wanted his works to be gold, silver, and precious stone, not hay, wood, and stubble. And he wanted to present something to Jesus Christ to build the church. Again, his reward, your reward there will correspond to the quality of your building materials. When hay, wood, and stubble come in contact with fire, they're burned up. They simply cannot stand the test. Gold, silver, and precious, however, will not be burned, but are purified. They will stand the test, and they will bring great reward to each believer. Believers who have the right motives, the right conduct, and the effective service will build with gold, silver, and precious stone. Their work is for the Lord and will receive correspondent rewards, for Paul tells them they shall receive a reward. Again, if any man's work abide in verse 14, which he had built thereon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned up, he shall not suffer loss. He shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as fire. You're not going to lose your salvation. You're not going to lose eternity. That's not what this is all about. But God wants to take the works we've done on this earth and apply them, I believe, to the church that Paul became the wise master builder of. See, this is the beauty of it. If you're building the church of Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, you're building the church here because you are the church. That's the beauty of this. As I build for Christ, I build the church here. The church is being built. If you are going to get gold, silver, and precious stone in heaven, you're going to see some results. And I put it this way, I don't like to be mean, but I like to tell you what like I think it is. If you're doing nothing to build the church here, there's probably a chance you're gonna have not a lot of gold, silver, and precious stone to present for Christ one day. As I build the church here, as I do the works and the good works and have the right motives and the right conduct and the right attitude and the right service, as you do those things here on earth, it's going to help build the church, this church. Because the Holy Spirit lives in each one of you. You are the church, so to speak. But when you all come together, this becomes the church. And as I live for Christ and present the gold, silver, precious stone in heaven, it's just going to correlate, I believe, in how I've helped build the church on this earth and impacted people who are around me. And to make the church what it needs to be for the glory of Jesus Christ. Believers who have the right motives and the right conduct and effective service will build the church. Their work for the Lord will receive corresponding rewards, for Paul tells us they will receive a reward. Believers' life of holy and submissive worshipfulness is having a life built by precious materials. Yet many humanly impressive and seemingly beautiful, worthwhile works that Christians do in the Lord's name will not stand the test of time. Do you understand what I'm saying? I listen to people come in my office that are not from this church, and they're from the community, and they almost pat themselves on the back and tell me how much they're doing in their church. Now, I'm not here to stand. That's the beauty of it. I don't have to judge their motive. I don't have to judge their contact or their conduct or their service. I don't have to judge their attitude, because that's for Jesus Christ. But I think there's a whole bunch of, and that's why I'm preaching this message, because there's a whole bunch of Christians out there who think, I am God's gift to mankind. I am God's gift to the church. And I'm doing so many wonderful things. But we'll find out. I think there's going to be a disappointment when the flame of fire from Christ's eyes looks upon your works. Again, is it going to be gold, silver? See, I don't want you to not work for him, because you need to work for him. You need to work in the church. You need to use your abilities. You need to use your talents for the glory. Those are good works. You need to use the gifting that God's given you. You need to do that. Because you're going to stand before Jesus Christ. And again, the question will it be gold, silver, precious stone, or hay, wood, and stubble? The workmen will never lose their salvation, but they may lose a portion of their rewards that they may be expecting. It's easy to fool ourselves into thinking that anything we do in the Lord's name, in his service, as long as we're sincere, long as we're hardworking and well-meaning, but what looks to us like gold may turn out to be stubble in heaven. Because we have not judged our materials by the standards of God's word. Our motives must be pure. Our conduct must be holy. Our service must be selfless. For if we choose to build with worthless materials, it'll prove that we have become almost a worthless workman for Christ in the life that I have. See, that's what I want you to see. I'm not trying to discourage anybody. No, at all. Not at all. But you'll have one opportunity to stand before Jesus Christ. And all your work from the time you were born again to the time you die or the rapture comes and takes you to heaven, that's what you have to present to Jesus Christ. All your good works that you've done on this earth, all the good things you've done will be presented before him in one setting, somewhere between the rapture and Jesus coming again. The judgment seat of Christ takes place because he wants to add to the church. But he only keeps the gold, silver, and precious stone. And again, if you have a lot of hay, wood, and stubble because, well, they're good works, but wrong motives, wrong conduct, because they were selfish, because it's what I wanted to do, because I did it to be seen of men, you're left with hay, wood, and stubble. It's still a good work. It's still something to present to Christ, but it's not going to stand the test of time and eternity because his eyes are as the flame of fire. This is what Paul's trying to communicate to the Corinthian church. Oh, you're saved. And you're doing some good things. But I know there's some things wrong because there's divisions, there's envy, and there's strife, there's pride. He said the things you're doing, you've got to do them with the right motive, the right conduct, and the right service. It's got to be done. Now I love it when people work. You come up and use your gifting and your talents and abilities, and you come up and work. That's wonderful. It's awesome to see what God can do in the works that's being accomplished around here. I appreciate that. But the question is, will it stand the test of time? And I don't answer that for you. And nobody else does. But you will one day know, because the fire will try every man's work, good works, of what sort it is, whether it be good or ultimately whether it be worthless, because it's hay, wood, and stubble. That's the idea behind this. Now let me give you one more thought and I'm done. He said, know ye not in verse 16 that ye are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? That's where I get you are the church. You are the church. Paul emphasizes the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells within us. There are two different Greek words that are translated temple. One is herios, which means the temple as a whole. That's the whole temple. And if you in Sunday school, I'm going through some descriptions of the temple, and on Wednesday night I'm going to go through some of the more descriptions of the temple. It was a huge place. It was a gigantic place. It was an amazing place. But when God talked about the temple as a whole, everything involved in the temple, he would use the word heros. But when he wanted to talk about the Holy of Holies, that place where all the priests could only go in once a year. And when that priest would go in once a year, the curtain was drawn and he'd go in. They'd put bells on his gown that he had dressed according to the Old Testament law. And they put bells on it. You know why they put bells on it? To hear if he was still moving around in here. Because if he went in with the wrong motives, he went in there with sin in his life, he went in and did not obey God's direction for placing that blood upon the mercy seat, he did something in there that goes against the scripture and what God wanted for his life, God would instantly drop him dead. And there's another thing they did. Not only did they put bells on to make sure he was still moving around in there, because if anybody opened the Holy of Holies and went in, guess what would happen to them? They would die immediately. And so they would tie a rope around his leg. Because if they heard the bell stop ringing, you know what they'd do? They'd pull him out of there because they were not allowed to go in there. Once a year, the priest could go into the Holy of Holies and he would take the sacrifice of the sheep and he would take it and he would pour it upon the mercy seat for the forgiveness of their sins for that year. Not for the forgiveness of their sins forever. That's only one lamb that could take care of that, and that was the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. That's the word naos. That's the word used here. The Bible says, know ye not that ye are the temple? Ye are the naos of the Holy Ghost. You're the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. It means holy. It means the Holy of Holies. It means it's God's sanctuary. The Holy of Holies was where God would come down and meet with God's people in the Shekinah glory, which that's the word used here for your temple. You are the temple of God. Not the heros, the temple, but the naos, the Holy of Holies. Again, the church itself is the temple of God. It's a composite temple composed of all of God's children. So you are the temple of God, the Holy of Holies. That's why he said, be ye holy, for I am holy. The same way he wanted the Holy of Holies to be so holy that if you went in there and you were wrong with God, or you didn't do it according to God's plan, the high priest didn't do it, he would be killed instantly. Nobody had to kill him. He would be killed by God, because that was the holy place. That was the Shekinah glory. That's the place where God dwelt. But that's the very word he uses for you and for me. You are the naos, the holy of holies. You are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity, dwells within you. You are the temple. But when all of you come together here at Faith Baptist Church, this becomes the temple. So these walls don't describe the temple. You are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you, but God is here when we get together in church, and that's why there's such wonderful worship that takes place, and the glorifying of God, the fellowship, and the different things. And like each individual Christian, it is holy. And God jealously guards that which is holy. That's why he says, you are the temple of God. Now, verse 17, I'm going to leave it for next week. Because it could be a problem passage a little bit. It says, if any man defile that temple, him shall God destroy. What does that mean? Well, there's some interesting things we'll look at next, or not next week, it's Christmas and the New Year's. When we get back, we'll look at that. But the idea is this, Paul's trying to communicate this message. You are the temple of God. God does live on this earth, but he lives in you through the Holy Spirit. Now, God is spirit. We must worship him in spirit and truth. You're not gonna see God, and you're not gonna see the Holy Spirit. But the moment you were born again, the Holy Spirit indwelt you. But I want you to see it. You are the temple of God. You are the naos. God lived in the temple, and it was only could be visited once a year. And if the priest wasn't completely right with God and didn't do it according to God's standard, that priest was killed automatically, because it was such a holy place. That was the Shekinah of glory, where God came down and met with his people. You are that temple. I am that temple. And I must keep it holy. But in the process, we're building. We're building, and one day, those buildings, I always wondered, what's God gonna do? Man, if you hear the description of heaven, there's streets of gold. The foundations around that build that city that's 1,400 miles high and 1,400 miles wide and 1,400 miles deep. It's made out of the most precious stones you can ever imagine. What's God going to do with all the gold, silver, and precious stone? Well, I really do think that that's the church. Now, you are the church. I understand that. But that's the church that you're being a part of building. I know it's your individual rewards, but your individual chance to add to the church the gold, silver, and precious stone. That's what you must work for. That's what Paul's trying to communicate to these Corinthian people. And your motive, and your conduct, and your service, it does make a difference in eternity. And so, are you working with gold, silver, and precious stone, or is it hay, wood, and stubble? And to be honest, the hay, wood, and stubble is going to be burned up. Only the gold, silver, and precious stone is going to be used. And you'll have a part of that. And that's what motivated Paul. It wasn't what he was going to receive. It wasn't that he was going to get wealthy with that gold, silver, and precious stone. He was going to have money to work with in heaven. That's not what it was all about. I think that was part of the church that he became the wise master builder of. So my question for you is, as the temple of God where the Spirit of God dwells, are you building his church? And as you're building that church we talk about in heaven, as you build in that church, you'll build this church. They go hand in hand. So if you want to know what your standing is sort of with gold, silver, precious stone, hay, wood, and stubble. You can compare it to, are you being a part of building or not building this church? Because if you're building gold, silver, and precious stone, it's going to make an impact in this community and for this church. So I caution you, I'm not going to come back to this again. Once we leave 1 Corinthians 3, then we're done with this. But I challenge you to have the right motive, the right conduct, and the right service. Because in eternity, it does make a difference. But not only in eternity, it makes difference in this lifetime. Because if you're building for eternity, you're building for the here and now to make a difference in people's lives. Gold, silver, precious stone, hay, wood, and stubble. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truth of God's word. Sometimes we don't like to hear it. Sometimes we think anything I do for Christ should make a difference. But Christ and God are so holy. Heaven is such a perfect place. It's so different than this earth. We get away with lack of good works, a lack of building on this earth. We don't even comprehend what heaven's going to be like, how perfect it's going to be. And in heaven, only the gold, silver, and precious stone are going to pass the test of time and eternity. The hay, wood, and stubble are going to be burned up. And so, God, that's my desire, that I have something to present to the Lord Jesus Christ to build his church. But if I have something in heaven to build the church, I'll be making a difference in the church here at Faith Baptist Church or the local church that I'm a part of. Let my works be gold, silver, precious stone. Help me to magnify my blessed Savior in all that I say and I do. Help my people not to be upset with this message, but to be encouraged by it. To point them in the right plan, in the right direction, and one day standing before Jesus Christ at that judgment seat of Christ. So God, seal these any decisions in our hearts today. We give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name, with every head bowed and every eye closed. Hard message to preach, because people feel sometimes worthless when you preach a message like this. But it's not to make you feel worthless. But I want you to know now what you'll face one day, so you can prepare and plan and work with the right motive, the right conduct, and the right service. I don't know where you stand, but if you're born again, your body's a naos. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost. God lives within you. And he wants us to build his church. Are we building? With gold, silver, precious stone. Hey, what is stubble? Julie, as she plays through just one verse, would you examine your own heart? Paul said this, examine yourself on this earth. If you examine yourself on this earth, you won't be examined so hard in heaven. But we don't examine ourselves ever on this earth, and one day that examination may be pretty rough. Do it now. What are your motives? What are your conduct? What are your service? What are your works like? Are they gold, silver, precious stone, or maybe hay, wood, and stubble? You pray and examine yourself. As she plays, you do business with God.